Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet. Toes. Come on. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
If you want to listen to this episode or any of our episodes ad-free, you can do that now. Head on over to Patreon. Click on the ad-free level. You get all of our bonus shows that you've been hearing so much about. Plus, every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you can listen to this episode or any of our other episodes at the same time, ad-free, over on Patreon. Okay, we have a lot to get into today. First, we are going to sit down and have a little chat with Miss Leva Bonaparte. Is everyone excited for season 8 of Southern Charm? It's here. We love it. So we're going to sit down and chat with Leva. Then, when we are done, we're going to have a little review of what I think of Southern Charm so far. And then we're going to share an older episode that we did about 2 years ago with Miss Landon Clements. Let's do some like blast from the past of Southern Charm. So, but the main attraction, she's here, second season for Miss Leva. Stay tuned. We're going to chat with Miss Leva Bonaparte. Southern Charm season 8, guys. It's here. Hope you enjoy. Hey everyone, this is David. Welcome back behind the velvet rope. Let's just get right into it today because we are joined by the one, the only Miss Leva Bonaparte.
Hi, hi.
As I lose my voice, how are you? Welcome.
Southern
Charm season 8. Well, thank you for being here. I mean, it's your second season, Leva.
Yes. Crazy.
It's crazy, right? How was this season different for you?
Oh, it's so different. I mean, it's so different on every level. Obviously, you know, last year was like insane. I hate using that word, but it was wild. It was a wild ride. It was like, we're up, we're out, we're filming, we're not, we're down. Oh, it's COVID. Oh, wait, just kidding. Not COVID. Oh, wait. Yes, COVID. You know, like it was a lot. And then it was so like, we only saw each other. So we're sitting in this like, 6 people radius and having these arguments again and again, and then everyone's stressed out and nobody really is able to. Everyone was just so, it was such a weird year last year, and then this year we're coming off of COVID, so you know, I'm coming in thinking like, live our best lives, we're all gonna get along, I'm so happy. Also probably not being fully aware of like how stressed out I am, because I'm just trying to live my best life, but also like recalibrating to being out with friends. Like I remember Catherine's party, I was like, whoa, this is a lot of people, you know, because we hadn't, you know, really been around a ton of people or like just public places being open. And then recalibrating to like friendships in real life, you know, like what do you say, how do you, just like hugging so many people, like it was all just, it's weird. I think nobody took stock of that, and so I think all of us like sort of recalibrating to all that and going back to work and you know, getting our businesses back together, and then seeing friends we hadn't seen in a long time with all these new life changes. So new boyfriends, breakups, makeups, moving, like coming back to town. It was like a lot. It was a lot.
That is a lot. You know, I mean, sometimes people come into reality TV their first season, not really knowing what to expect. And then, you know, they go away and they kind of are like, I get it. You know, I get how these OGs play the game. Like, okay. Like, did you come back and like feel like a different person just having gone through the experience and knowing how certain people are?
Yeah. I mean, I think I did and I didn't. Like I, you know, and it's funny because a lot of people ask me like, why I don't feel like I play the game. I feel like I don't have the bandwidth to play the game. Like, I'm just like, I am too tired in like real life to even figure out what your stupid plan is. Like, all I know is I don't like what you said, or I don't think you're being nice, or, hey, let's just be friends. This doesn't matter. Or like, let's have a good time. You know? So I do think that there's a lot of, and it's funny because I get accused of like being agenda driven or being whatever, but I'm like, I really don't have time, bro. Like, I am so, I'm running here. Like, the fact that I can even have some social time is like a big deal. So I certainly do not have time to think about what I'm, how I'm going to maneuver my social experience. So I do think that the only thing I came in knowing is just that, you know, at the end of the day, this is going to be like a synopsis of who I am. And I just have to accept that. That was, it was difficult for me to digest that last year because I wanted to give context and I wanted to give the rest of the conversation and, you know, well, okay, I clearly I'm an overtalker. So, you know, like, I want you guys to know all the bits and pieces and just, you know, going through it and being like, okay, well, they're going to hear it's a 45 minute episode and we filmed quite a bit at this party and they're going to just hear parts of it. And, you know, hopefully people will be conscious of that. So that was more what I went in thinking, you know, which I think maybe made me a little bit even more myself, maybe.
Why do you think there's that disconnect of, you know, like you said, you're busy, you're running restaurants, which we'll get into in a second. Like, you have a real day job, you know, and you are just being yourself. And then people are accusing you of like maybe playing the game or having some agenda behind the scenes.
Yeah. I don't, it's funny because I do think that some people have the time to do that. And I just don't. I'm either like, I like you or I don't, or I'm invested in you, or like, we can be cool, but I'm not invested in you. You know, like I don't care what you say, unless it's like something that needs to be checked, but essentially like you make different decisions than I do. But the group's a lot younger than me, you know, like they're in their early 30s and I'm in my, you know, almost in my mid 40s. So it's just a different life space. So I genuinely, the ones that are my friends, I genuinely see them as my friends. And so I don't really have a game plan, but somehow people always, I don't know. I think people just seem to think that I have one and I'm like, I'm really not here to like compete with you or do whatever, or, have an agenda. Like I think I've always shown you that I'm genuinely my friend, but I think that they get, I have a temper. So like, if I get pissed off, I say shit, I don't know. I'm working on it. And I'm a little bossy, you know, like we all know this. I didn't get here by mistake. So I think that sometimes they think those things are planned, but I'm like, I wish they were planned, because those things that come out of my mouth are like the most unplanned version of me. So.
Well, listen, at the end of the season, you know, people noticed on social media, you unfollowed Catherine and Craig and Austin and Madison and Paige DeSorbo. So I guess we're going to see some drama this season on Southern Charm, which we could also see from the trailer and what we've seen so far.
Yeah. I think you're going to see drama the entire season, not even just the last episode. I think by then I had just grown tired of a few things. And it was like, I didn't think any blogger was going to pick that up. I did that for my personal like mental health, because I was just like, I am tired of these games, you know, like I'm just trying to talk about my feelings. And I just don't like, my biggest pet peeve is like when let's say three people are angry at one person and then three other people pile on. I'm like, is that really necessary? Cause like, I will stand in defending a person I don't even agree with if like five people are up against them. You know what I mean? Cause I don't maneuver that way. So to me, I think sometimes that group can do that. And I don't know if it's just like a maturity thing or what it is, but I was that's one thing that I was just like, all right, I just need a little, I need a little space. I don't need to like your selfies right now. I need a little space from your face.
Well, welcome to the Bravo fandom. They notice everything, Lava. So yeah. There you go.
Ow.
What about, you know, you are a happily married woman. Shout out to Lamar. Like, we have a lot of relationships here. You know, we know that like Catherine and Caleb are no longer together. You know, it seems from the trailer that Olivia is with Austin. Paige has made her entrance. Naomi's back in town. Mm-hmm. Shep is with, you know, what do you, who do you think needs the most help from you as a happily married woman? Which of your castmates or just one or two that could really use some relationship advice from Lava?
I don't think any of them are like there yet. They're not into, they're not in the deep waters, any of them. You know what I mean? They're like in honeymoon stage. So, you know, maybe in 3 years, like, you know, my relationship is like over a decade old or whatever. Like, so maybe when the real stuff hits, not the petty arguments or the silly stuff. Yeah. I definitely do think that I give Shep and Taylor some advice because I do think there are, there's some sides of Shep that are like sort of similar to me where he's maybe a little tortures himself a little bit, kind of a little bit hard on himself. And then he ends up projecting it onto Taylor. So we talk, I think you guys will see a little bit of that where I talked to Shep about it. And, you know, Shep can also be, he's kind of like a proud guy and he can get in his own way a little bit. And I do that a lot in my relationship where I'm like, oh, you know, but he has such a good heart. And I genuinely think he really, really, really loves her. But I did think that that was just like a personality thing where we met on that and people really like are hard on Taylor, but I also see what Taylor is. I see Taylor's side of it too, you know, where she's just like, I love him and I know he doesn't mean this or mean that, or, you know, so I think that I connected with them a little bit this year, but none of them are in those deep waters yet for those kind of conversations. They're like taking selfies and traveling the world and like having fun and being cute. Like, it's not there.
Maybe because they're younger. Maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah.
What about, you know, we see from the trailer, like, you know, it seems like things get tense, like even like physical between like Craig and, I mean, Austin, and then Austin and Shep. Like, how did you react to that?
So I always say like the boys just, you know, they go from like having a great time, like doing some sort of activity to like, whoa, grumpy men, like grumpy old men, just like bitter at each other. And then it gets like really intense with them. And like, you'll see us girls, it's just like, I'm just going to stay out of their way because they're, and then they end up like resolving it. They're just, those three are weird. They're like a throuple. Like, they're just literally like, love one day, hate one day. They fight so hard. They're a very like toxic couple, I think, the three of them. And so we just stay out of their way. And you never know when that fight is coming with those boys because they could be like fishing or doing something like, oh yeah, it's so fun. We're having so much fun. And then like 2 seconds, it just like flips a switch and the girls are like, what? Meanwhile, we'll be stewing for hours and finally somebody says something. And then we argue for hours and months. And like them, it's just, they flip a switch and then they like go back to like riding home together from the trip.
They're best friends after.
Yeah.
Well, look, I can't wait to watch this season of Southern Charm, but I also have to say, you know, congratulations. I mean, Southern Charm Leveland, we've announced this spinoff, which is coming. I mean, that's gotta be exciting. I mean, I know we're way ahead of ourselves, but that's pretty big feat for like your second season on this show.
Yeah, it really is. And it's kudos to like my cast, you know, like they're just really, really interesting kids with interesting lives and interesting stories, and they're young, and I'm so proud of them for being like as transparent as they are. And I think you're going to see stories you've never seen on Bravo, which I'm proud of Bravo for covering them. I think you're going to see, you know, the side of Charleston, like we're a hospitality city, you know, and you don't see that on Southern Charm. And a ton of people are making their living that way. And it's a ton of young people who are just making a killing, working 3 days a week and then partying for 3 days a week and kind of living the most fabulous life you wish you could live. You know what I mean? They're 23 and making bank, and then 3 days work, 3 days Tulum, 3 days work, 3 days a mansion, 3 days work, 3 days like magazine photo shoot because they're just that hot. You know what I mean? And then they have so much history, like, you know, worked for me for so long. Some are newer, some are like, you know, literally been with me since for 7-8 years, you know, and then they also have their own histories. Like they went to school together, or they used to date, and, you know, now they don't or whatever. So you'll just catch all of that. It's a lot. And I'm really proud of it. And I think it'll be, I think it's going to knock everyone's socks off.
I can't wait. I mean, listen, Vanderpump Rules is one of the most successful shows on Bravo ever. You know, have you heard from Lisa Vanderpump? Have you heard from Candy Burris? You know,
I haven't. I admire them both. I think they're both like literally icons. But I think we're all doing like a different thing, you know? And so I definitely think like they're, it's definitely like an OcuSoap, like it's an occupation based, you know, show or whatever you want to call it, occupation. I don't know if it's a soap or docu, whatever. Anyway, but it's an occupational based show. But you know, my relationship with them is so different than, let's say, Candy's and her staff or Lisa and her staff. I certainly am not, you know, either one of them. But no, I haven't heard from them yet. But I hope that like maybe I'll see them at BravoCon, and yeah, I look up to them. They built some. You know, Candy's built like an empire, and so is Lisa. So the two of them are, you know.
We love them. What do you want people to take away from this season of Southern Charm as they watch, like from you, you know, like what do you think people are going to see from you having it be a different season?
I think you'll just see a lot more of, you know, I think that everyone sort of is like, you know, I would always get that question of like, how do you do it all? And like the business and the family and the da da, you know, and I'm just like, I don't, I have really bad days and I really do crumble a lot. And this new normal of life with like no boundaries, it's like, I'm in my kid's playroom and I'm doing a Zoom, and like, there's just like, what's work, what's home, what's, you know, I'm on my phone. I think I struggle a lot with boundaries. I know that I struggle a lot with anxiety. And so I think you'll see a lot of that. I wanted to keep it real for everyone just trying to like do their best, because I'm trying to do my best, but I really do have days where I'm like, help me, you know, like somebody, like a licensed person, like help me figure out why I'm like, you know, why am I reacting this way? Or why am I so stressed out? Or what is like, take the weight off my chest. You know, I think we all have.
I get it. We're all human, right? Well, as we wrap up, I mean, you initially, you know, came into this friend group, like you were introduced like through Cam, like, you know, and then I know she wasn't part of the show last year. Like when you have those days and like all this drama starts and you're unfollowing people, like, do you ever say like, I wish Cam was here? Like, do you guys still keep in touch? Like, and it seemed like you had a pretty tight bond.
We did. We had a really, a very, very tight bond for like, I think short of like a decade. But then when I joined the show, it sort of got a little awkward because I know she didn't want to know anything about the show. And I think it was a hard time for her. And it's kind of hard to not talk about the show with your friends because it's like kind of your life and it's very real. So it's like, I don't know. So it became a little sore point for, I think, for our friendship, because it's like, how do we now rebuild this thing, but keep this part out of it? You know what I mean?
Totally.
Yeah. I see her, obviously on social media and stuff, and we're friendly and stuff like that. And we live on very opposite ends of town too. So once she moved to the other end of town, it's been difficult to see her. But no, so essentially, yes, I knew them through Cam, but like they've been coming into my spots for 10 years and I've just known them socially. So I can't even fault her on it. It's more like, why did I open these like spaces and I see them all the time? And, but no, I'm at the end of the day, it's like, they're all good hearted people. And, you know, I'm still grateful for most of them. And, you know, I love Olivia and I love Naomi and I love Taylor and, you know, so those in the girl group, like the girl factor, those girls are really, really good humans.
And we're going to see it all play out as we watch every season, every scene. I mean, I'm so happy the show is back. I'm so glad you're a part of it. Like, you know, thank you for chatting. I can't wait to see how this season plays out for you.
I think it's going to be one of the best you guys have seen. No one's holding back. So I think it's going to be good.
I can't wait. All of that being cooped up with COVID. So I really appreciate your time and like, congratulations on everything.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. I'll see you later, Lava.
Bye.
Bye.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. McKissick helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
One thing I know for certain is this audience, all of you listening, you guys just cannot get enough of these celebrity interviews that I do. Listen, I'm already doing 6 shows a week, guys. I can't do any more, but I have the answer for you. Your prayers have been answered. There is a podcast called The Envelope, and it's also, guess what? A celebrity-based podcast. It's from the LA Times. That's right. The hosts, Yvonne and Mark, they're actually LA Times entertainment reporters. They're way more professional than I am. And they interview people during various award seasons in Hollywood. Now, let me skip through all of that and tell you about their guests. I have green with envy. They have interviewed Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, Grace and Frankie, hello, Jennifer Coolidge, oh my God, Jessica Biel. I mean, the things that I would ask Jessica Biel about Justin Timberlake, I can't even imagine. David Harbour from Stranger Things. The first 6 episodes are available to binge right now. That's right, right now, because later in July, more episodes are coming out. So you have to binge the first 6 right now. Listen, you can download and listen to all these episodes of The Envelope wherever you get your podcast. Again, Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda, Jessica Biel, Jennifer Coolidge. You will not be disappointed. The Envelope, listen now everywhere you get your podcasts. I am obsessed. You guys know I work from home, and because of that, I travel a lot, and I'm never in one place for very long. And that's why when it came to my mental health, the only option I could see was Talkspace. Talkspace is kind of like having a therapist in your pocket. I personally, and you too, can reach out to your therapist or psychiatrist anytime from anywhere. And it just makes taking care of mental health so easy. When I'm away and I need to talk to my therapist, I just send a message from wherever, you know, I can work through things. It's so easy. You can sign up online and basically start therapy the same day you sign up. You can text, video, or send voice messages to your licensed therapist. So it's just easy. It's convenient. It's literally like you don't have to leave your home. And it's also, I mean, this is the greatest part, I think. Well, one of the greatest parts, it's affordable. It's a fraction of the cost of in-person therapy. Instead of waiting for an appointment, you can send unlimited messages 24/7. They'll engage with you literally, you know, any day. So listen, as a listener of this podcast, you get $100 off your first month with Talkspace. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com. Make sure to use the code VELVET to get $100 off of your first month and show your support for the show, right? That's nice. That's VELVET and Talkspace.com. Hey everyone, this is David. Welcome back behind the velvet rope for another wonderful episode. And we have a very special guest here today, all the way from LA, not from South Carolina, the one and only Landon Clements from Southern Charm. How are you?
Great. Hi, David. Thank you so much for having me on. This is really fun.
Isn't this, you know what, everyone this week and last week is like, this has been the highlight of my day. Like these things are the highlight of my day now too.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm a very social person, so this is sort of killing me.
I am just as social as you, and it's not fun, is it?
No, I actually like had a little bit of a tantrum over the weekend. On Monday, I've been like hiking every day. So on Monday, they closed all the parks. So we can't even, like, they even took the hiking and the beaches and everything away. So I'm just like, I had a little moment last night, but I'm doing better now.
I get it. I had a moment on Sunday where this is my new thing. I'm going to take it one week at a time because Sunday night I started with some big picture thoughts and they weren't good. I'm like, what if this happens? And I'm just like, I gotta, And then when you talk to certain friends, you're like, they don't help. They don't help.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, actually, I'm keeping it together pretty well. You guys are really freaking out.
I know. I'm like, well, what happened to me on Sunday night is I was thinking some things. And then this friend of mine texted me and thought the same things. And I'm like, okay, now I'm freaked out. Yeah. The fact that we're both like saying like, what if? Yeah. And we're looking forward. I'm like, this is not good.
Yeah. But yeah. Are you in New York? Are you still in the city?
Yeah. So I stayed here.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people left. Like, I know all this stuff, like New York is under attack, but in a way there's nobody here. Like, I understand why it's so bad in New York, just because there's so many people everywhere.
It's sort of like LA too. I drove into Beverly Hills yesterday because I had to do some like paperwork stuff. But anyways, it took me about 25 minutes and normally it takes me 45. And I was like, well, this isn't so bad. Like that's a small upside. People really are staying home. So, you know, that's good. Just heeding the advice.
They are staying home. Like, do you live by yourself out there? Because I live by myself, which is...
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually up in Santa Barbara. I'm at a friend's house now just because I didn't want to be, like, so alone.
And I get it.
My other friends, I've been living with a girlfriend I grew up with in Atlanta. So she went, like, home. She's like, I'm out of here. I don't want to be, like, trapped for months on end. And I was like, I get it.
I was going to do that, but then... I don't know. It's like, then in a way I'm like, I want all my stuff and I need all my stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm the same way. I'm like, well, I've got to keep like still working and functioning and just, I'm not ready to like shut it down. But I did also have a little moment, like I'm probably not going to get to go to Charleston for Easter. You know, like I was supposed to get on a flight today and go to Maui. It's one of my really good friends. She got engaged. So we were all meeting out there this weekend for her little bachelorette. Last week I was supposed to be at South by Southwest Film Festival. First film that I've worked on the production side of, we got into South by Southwest. We were so stoked. And then, you know,
oh wow,
pulled the plug on that one. So it's been sort of like, I had this like great expectations for March and all these plans. And it's like, you're not going anywhere.
I had to cancel so many freaking things. Like that's the thing. Like, then I go to that and I'm like, oh my God, like my friends were getting married at the end of March. We were all going away in June. And like last night I spoke to them and they're like, you know, we're canceling our wedding.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I guess. And then I'm like, well, we can still maybe go away in June. And they're like, if we're not getting married, we're not going away in June. Right. So that's canceled.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah. So I think like once this is all over, then it's like the fallout of like, oh my God, like, now I'm upset about all these other things, but right now I just want to get out of the house.
Yeah. I'm just trying to keep like snacks supply.
Seriously.
No.
Well, I've been like, I mean, I had to go to the grocery store yesterday. So then I had to freak out when I was there too. I'm like, oh my God.
I mean, I'm like stripping at the front door, getting straight in the shower, like burn these clothes.
Well, and did I see you have gloves on? Like, didn't I see you have gloves
no,
on?
No, not right now, but I have. I'm at least at like,
that's really good. I mean, like when I'm home, I'm not wearing gloves. So that's really good. I think I'm doing 90% of what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah. That's good.
It's hard, but I'm glad you took the time. I think this is a good time to chat, right? Because here we are, we're home.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we have a lot to get into. So I figured we'll start with, tell me about you. Like, I want to hear, I always like to start with like, where are you from? Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up on a little island called St. Simons, and it's just below Hilton Head, like where Shep's from. And so there's a little chain of islands, basically from Charleston all the way down to basically the top of Florida. And they call it the Golden Isles. And I grew up on a little island called St. Simons. And then went to like elementary school and all of that in Atlanta, and then went to the College of Charleston. So that's how I sort of ended up in Charleston, moved there when I was 18 and, you know, have never really left. So it's great. Both of my sisters live there now. My parents got a little townhouse there. And so they're still back and forth to Atlanta. And then my dad also grew up on the island. So a lot of family.
You're from that area. So were you in LA like when the show was first being cast?
Yeah. And I've actually known Whitney from out in LA. So he went to a boarding school in England with my like ex-husband's best friend. I mean, it's so, so they've all known each other for forever. And then I've known Whitney for probably, gosh, over 15 years. And then, like, Shep went to the University of Georgia. My sister was there. So I've known him since 18 or so. And, but yeah, so when I was actually living in Aspen when the first season came out, and I, you know, I'd heard that they were filming and was like, oh, great, so fun. And then, you know, we always kind of, it was sort of just like a joke. And then Bravo bought it. And that was so very exciting. And they did the first season. Originally, it was supposed to be Southern Gentlemen, and it was just the guys. But I think there had never really been a show with like all male cast like that. So then they added in Cameron, who is awesome and had kind of experience in that world. She had actually been on The Real World.
Yes.
Whitney's mother, Patricia, who is obviously amazing. And, you know, then they were off. And so
did they come up with it? So like, did Whitney, was it his show? And he's like, let me shop this around.
Well, it just, Charleston is such a like cool, magical place. And, you know, forever. I mean, who doesn't say like, we should have our own reality show.
Yes.
But then it really happened. So, it's just, it's been such a wild ride and so much fun. And we're just like always prepared that like, okay, this will be the last one. This will be the last one. And then it's like, no, another and another. And even though I'm not on it anymore, I know that they were getting ready to do another season. And then, you know, the production on like everything has come to
shut
a screeching
down.
They actually, a lot of stuff is produced in Charleston now. Like, I don't know if you saw The Righteous Gemstones or Vice Principals or any of those things that Danny McBride and his whole crew does, but a lot of that's filmed in Charleston. All those productions are shut down, a lot of movies. And so everyone's just sort of, I was talking actually to Bravo yesterday, just they were giving, like checking in on how everyone is. And we were talking about how, you know, a lot of productions haven't had a break like this, but we have hurricane season. So we're like, oh, this is just kind of another, you know, we've had to stop production before because of hurricane season. And
oh, really? Wow.
Just, well, Charleston, once they declare it like a state of emergency, then they can't have productions insured. And it's a whole big thing. So they're kind of in that same limbo right now, I suppose. But
so Bravo reached out to you. I mean, that's nice.
Yeah, well, you know, they still do the little Daily Dish, which is their like online content thing. So just they also were interested in, you know, how everyone's still functioning. And now that, you know, I'm in real estate, so doing the virtual tours and just kind of talking about how everyone's going to adjust to life with Corona.
Yeah, I mean, this is really not the funnest. So.
No. But it's so important to stay home and keep everybody safe. My grandmother's 93. She's in quarantine. My dad was actually supposed to have a little surgery. He's not able to do that until, you know, further notice. So it does. It affects a lot of people. And then, you know, I've got a lot of girlfriends that are having babies or have young kids. And it's just, you know, that panic and fear is real. And there's not much you can do besides stay home to protect everyone.
And the homeschooling, because I have a lot of friends with kids too. Like, they're just like, this homeschooling is just not working for us. They're like, what is going on? I'm like, well, I don't have kids, so I can't really relate.
Like, growing up on the island, a lot of friends kind of were homeschooled. So it's, you know.
Oh, wow.
I think in the city, it's a lot harder. But if you can, like, get outside, and I saw a funny little meme the other day, and it was like, you know, life before Corona, it's a family like all on the sofa on their phones. And then it's like life after, and they're all like out at the park and riding bikes and like
doing normal
things, which, so that's kind of a weird, good outcome from all of this is just, you know, when else does the world stop? I feel like life happens so fast and
totally.
To get to take a minute to, you know, I don't know. I've been gardening and cooking and like reading books and trying to work on my websites and, you know, just learning new skills, honing old ones.
My house has never, but I mean, that's the one thing about being home. Like, I have cleaned out my junk drawer. I've rearranged. I'm like, I am so organized.
It's spring cleaning to the max.
Seriously. I'm like, this is stuff I should have done like 5 years ago that I'm like, who has time to, I'm never home. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah, it is.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
So I want to tell you guys about our new sponsor who, I mean, they're paying me, so I really have no choice but to tell you guys about them, right? Listen, they're called the Commercial Break Comedy Podcast. This podcast is about two best friends, Brian and Chrissy, and they get in the studio and they take a break from this very serious world. And the thing is, they share stories about their own lives, things that like you may not really care about. They give horrible life advice and they just discuss the most absurd things that you probably don't give an F about. They talk about cat attorneys, ghost hunters. They talk about all this crap and I'm just like, who cares? But you know what? Joke's on me because the Commercial Break is consistently ranked in Apple's top 100 comedy podcasts and a top 10 Apple improv comedy podcast. You know how hard that is, guys? Trust me, I know. They also have a 4.9 star rating on Apple, which I'm completely jealous of that. And they're Chartable's number one trending podcast globally 3 times in the past year. The Commercial Break has new episodes each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on all podcast players and full episodes in daily clips available on the YouTube channel at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. Or you can visit tcbpodcast.com for more info. That's T as in Tom, C as in cat, B as in butter, podcast.com. So when you have a chance, listen, take a listen to our new paid friends on the Commercial Break anywhere you like to listen to your podcast or visit tcbpodcast.com.
So, okay. So when the show first came out, like, and you weren't on it that first season, were you like, oh my God, like, this is hilarious. Like my friend Whitney, my friend Shep, like, oh
yeah,
my
God. Totally. I mean, Thomas is, you know, pretty well known and before all of that anyways. And so, yeah, it was just really fun, wild experience. And then, you know, another season and another one and another should be filming season 7. I'm sure that they'll get back to it and it'll be great. And, you know, this is, that's what's fun about reality television. This will somehow be like woven into the story of it.
Totally.
And, you know, it's real life and it's just,
it is. And then how did you get involved in season 2? Like you just were coming home. Like I know you went through a divorce.
It was actually Easter. It was this sort of time of year and I, Colorado, the mountain had closed. And so I usually went home for Easter. And then, they were casting to do another show and they wanted to kind of have more girls on there or more people that were really like from there and really knew them and all of that. So, at first I was like, no way, this is not for me. I would never
really
so uncomfortable, like definitely not. And, but then it just felt so natural. Like Whitney and Shep and I filmed just kind of like, sort of a test scene, I guess. And they came over to my sister's house. Her name's Powell, but we all call her Bam. So they came over to her house and a bunch of my stuff from California had arrived. So we were like unpacking all of these boxes and stuff. And it did, it just felt really natural. And like, there's no camera there. You're just with your friends and catching up. And so then they saw that and they were like, you guys really are friends. This is a pretty natural relationship. So we, you know, I wasn't really supposed to be like a full cast member, like on it. So, here comes my friend's little daughter.
like
hi. Hi in the little guest room. Do you want to say hi?
Hi. She's cute.
I just dropped my little ear pods. Oh, well.
At least you look like you're somewhere where there's a lot of space.
Yeah, that's why I came here. My place in Santa Barbara is like a teeny little Daddy. Studio.
Daddy.
No. She's cute.
So yeah, this is real life.
No, I mean, I love it. I love it. At least you have people around you.
Well, that's the thing. I you know, was like, oh, this will blow over in a week. And now here we are 2 weeks. And like, I pretty much flights are canceled. Don't think I'll be getting back to Charleston anytime soon. I've been there like a month ago. So, but you know, I, like I said, I got really upset about, you know, thinking about Easter on Monday. It's like, I'm not going to get to go home.
I know that's, I'm not happy. Well, I mean, yesterday on the news, there was something about like, we're all going to be out by Easter. And I'm like, that seems really aggressive to me.
Yeah.
Like, as much as I want to go outside, I'm like, let's just solve this the right way.
Yeah, like, we're already this far through it. Just wait until it's done.
I can't start over if we're like out and about. It's not going to be good. Well, I was going to say, like, to your point of like the first season you were on, you really did manage to stay out of the drama for the most part. Like, you had a very nice
person by nature. I mean, I love, you know, sailing and surfing and kind of fishing and hanging out with my friends and like bonfires on the beach and just like taking it easy. Yeah. But, you know, life is not always.
It's well, and then the end of the first season, then you had a minute of drama with Catherine. So talk to us about Catherine. I'm sure people want to talk to you about that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that stuff is all kind of crazy. But I think, you know, she's grown up a lot. I certainly have. I haven't seen her in a couple of years. You know, I know her mom recently passed away and sort of reached out some condolences. And that's, again, it gets back to like reality, and that's real stuff. And these are real emotions that you feel. So whenever someone's like, oh, it's, you know, fake or scripted or whatever, and it's not. It's, you know how you are when you get frustrated and lash out, and then imagine someone has recorded every one of your like lashing outs.
Completely. Oh, please. If like I was on a reality show, I would have so much stuff that I would look back at and be like, oh my God, I went crazy. Yeah, of course.
But it does. You see yourself very clearly through the lens of a camera, and
totally,
you know, things that you won't tolerate and what you will tolerate. And, you know, I had never met Catherine before filming. I mean, when I met her, we were filming. So, that alone, you just like, you're on like high alert, like, you know, it's like all your senses are going and you get into these situations. And, you know, I didn't know her history with the guys and whatever. And I just, you know, and then on the first season or second season, whatever it was, you know, my sister, Bam, again, we, you know, she came down to Jekyll Island with us. We took everybody down there, and that was going to be our, like, you know, we'll be friends with Catherine and she can come home. And then that's, you know, there was one set of charges against Thomas. She was like freaked out on Whitney, and my sister is like super chill, and she was just like, what is going on? And
right, she's like,
I don't really know. And like my dad was there. It was just like a lot. So that was not off on the right foot, so to speak.
And then what about, tell us about Thomas.
Well, I mean, Thomas, I've sort of known through like horseback riding, and I trained polo horses when I was in college, just sort of like a little, you know, school job. I was a cart girl at Patriots Point Golf Course. And one of the golfers there, his wife trained horses and played polo, and they had a little boy. So sometimes I would nanny for them and then would, you know, help with the horses too. So I kind of, you know, met Thomas through that way. And then right after, when I finished school, though, I moved out to L.A. So I'd been up here for about 6 or 7 years before I went back and started doing the show. So, but yeah, you know, we were all friends, and I just, I think I underestimated that, like, everyone would be, like, chill and friends and not, you know, there was, I
don't know. And you guys were just friends?
Oh, Thomas and I? Yeah, we all just been friends, nothing more. I mean, even on the last reunion that I was on, you know, Catherine even admitted that she doesn't think Thomas and I ever were anything more than friends, which it was like, ugh, thank you, finally.
Right, you're like, finally.
Yeah.
And then what about Shep and this all, well, I love you?
Well, I mean, I do love Shep. I mean, not so much in that way anymore, but I just moved back to Charleston. I hadn't been dating anyone. You know, we have a very small little group of friends, and it was sort of like, well, it's just us. And, you know, luckily a lot of people move to Charleston all the time. And that's how, you know, like Austin got sort of wrangled into all of this. He had been there, but, you know, was still sort of new to Charleston. And, you know, it does, our little friend group keeps growing. So I'm glad that Shep and I never really like crossed those lines, because we're still really good friends to this day.
It's easier that way.
It's so much easier.
And what about, so you've always been this entrepreneur. We saw on the show you had a lot of different things going on. So, yeah. And your father's in real estate?
Mm-hmm. He is. He was like a commercial real estate developer, and he also developed a lot of like subdivisions and houses and stuff like that. And so my mom would do some of the interior design. My dad's mom, my grandmother, was even involved. She was one of the first women in Georgia to ever have a real estate license. So that's a pretty cool thing. And
wow.
You know, so I just sort of grew up on a construction site. Then when I was at College of Charleston, I majored in historic preservation of architecture. So our classrooms were like all these cool old crumbling buildings, and you could see the like layers coming off of the walls, whether it was, you know, different plasters or wallpapers. And so you could just see the history just sort of wrapped in it. And then I studied abroad in Italy and went to school in Florence. And that was amazing. It's been really hard watching, you know, Italy just being destroyed with all of this. So
it's crazy.
You know, that's a place that I love very dearly. I was just there again last summer, and some other good friends of ours in Charleston, they got married. So I was over there for a couple of weeks, and it's just so much love for Italy.
I know, it's crazy.
But yeah, so then I got my real estate license, and that's what I've been working on. I know on the show they saw me working on, you know, my travel website, and that's something I still love to do and I'm passionate about. I, you know, I haven't been writing about it as much, but I definitely still post from my travels and little adventures and love doing that. You know, one of the big things that kind of happened with my blog, which we never really discussed or talked about, was I was working with Vox Media, and they have Eater and Curbed and Lockhart Steel. And so during that whole Me Too movement, he had, I guess, had some sort of misconduct. And that was kind of my like guide through this whole sort of tech world at the time. So after that, I was like, I just, you know, can't really, you know, it was just, it was crazy times, you know. During that same time, that's when Shep had his dating show, relationship. So it's like during the Me Too movement is not like the best time to have a reality dating show. So, I mean, we all felt the sort of ripple from that, which, you know,
because at Vox Media, someone who was your mentor was involved in like a Me Too.
Yeah, I mean, it just
kind
of just, you know, it puts it in perspective, you know. And that was another thing that made me kind of want to like take a step back from the show, and like, you know, stuff got like too real. There's like lawsuits and just all kinds of crazy stuff. And you know, I didn't always feel comfortable sharing all of my personal life. Like I said, I wasn't really dating anyone. And then it's, you know, you've always got to have this sort of drama, which people love, and it's this kind of great soap opera and this Southern saga. but at the same time, I just, there were so many things going on. And I, after we finished, I guess season 5 or season 4, I just moved out to Malibu and have been out here really ever since, and have been super happy. Got my real estate license reenacted, and, have just been selling property since then. Still doing a lot of interior design work as well, which is one of my favorite things to do.
So you're full time in Malibu, but you obviously go home for the holidays.
Yeah. I go home every few months or so.
And your family's all back home still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. So, I mean, that's obviously, yeah, not going home for Easter is not fun.
Yeah.
So how do you like real estate out there? Do you do Malibu and LA?
My license is for all of California. So I've had listings up in Napa. I've had stuff in Santa Barbara, Malibu, done a bunch up. I used to live in Laurel Canyon, so did a bunch up in like the Hollywood Hills area. I know you asked about my little stint on the hills as well. And
I was trying to like give you the real estate platform because that's what you do now. But can we talk about the hills for a minute?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about it sooner or later. Now,
segue.
I mean, yes, because I was going to come back to it, but we might as well. I mean, there's a lot of things I'd like to talk to you about, but yes, The Hills is one of the classic reality shows.
Yeah, they're back. I think they were getting ready to do a season 2 also there.
Yeah.
Postponed, hiatus, whatever.
Although I'm so upset Misha Barton is fired. And that is
But you're going to love Caroline. She is like true blue LA. Her family, you know, they're Malibu as well. And, you know, she grew up with like Paris Hilton and everyone. And so she's just.
That sounds amazing.
She's adorable and so cool. And her family has like this little pizza place in Malibu. They've got a bunch of them now, but So yeah, now she's got her little pasta sauce and, you know, she'll do really well and be so fun. And, you know, she legit like grew up with Brody and all of them. So it's not like a forced thing, which right. is exactly how it was with Southern Charm. Like, it's just a natural, like, these are your friends for real. So it makes it really easy.
Well, those are the reality shows, I think, that like do the best, you know, like Vanderpump Rules, like they really yeah. all like when you, I think when it's forced, I mean, that was the thing, like, yes, Misha was kind of awkward on the hills because she's not really friends.
Well, I mean, I loved her. The OC was
love.
Like,
oh my God.
I wanted to move to California.
I loved her. I mean, I loved every scene she was in. I thought she was great, but you know, you're like, okay, there's no real natural chemistry here because this is probably stunt casting.
Well, and you know what? You get, I could, I don't know, Misha, I don't know, you know, but you could see that she was being guarded. You know, you gotta, that's the one thing with the reality TV. You don't have any choice. You have to be just a complete open book. And then they get to kind of pick and choose what they think is interesting about you. So
totally.
That's kind of the hard part. The only way you can really edit yourself is by editing yourself. And I think maybe she edited herself too much, like was too closed off. And I just judging from her Instagrams, she doesn't seem very happy about Caroline being on the show or taking her place. Or
does she know Caroline? Or
I don't think so, but she, you know, posted, I guess Us Weekly did an article saying that Caroline was on the cast, and then she posted something saying like, these are lies, and like, they weren't lies. I don't know. I'm not on the production. I'm not on the show anymore. I have no idea what's going on, but it's just from the like shade thrown on Instagram.
I saw that.
Yeah. So I'm like, whoa, shots fired.
Seriously. So wait, so you are going to be, how are you almost on the hills though? Like, let's back it up. Like, it wasn't Laguna Beach.
Developer. Yeah. I was looking for a real estate developer, Sam Nazarian. They have SBE Entertainment. So they own like the SLS hotels. I don't know if you, or they yeah. did. Now they've sold them, but that's a whole long other story. But so yeah, this is back in 2005, maybe 2006. And I was working for Philippe Stark. So I did the SLS and everything as well. And so I was working for him, and his contract was everything that was developed, Philippe Stark developments in North America went through Sam Nazarian. And so I was working for him at the time, and we were designing and building a bunch of nightclubs and restaurants and the hotels, of course. And then brought in Brent Bolthouse because he was like the club king, knew everybody, you know, if you wanted the celebs at your place, he was like the go-to guy. So then he partnered with Sam, and then I kind of started working for Brent Bolthouse because I knew all the venues and how everything kind of operated, and was sort of a liaison between SBE and them. And they were obviously filming Brent for the show. So that's kind of how I was like wrangled in a little bit.
Interesting. And like, did you know, like, did you hang out with any of them? Like Heidi? I mean, I know it's not.
Still keep in touch. They lived in Carpinteria, which is a little beach town right before Santa Barbara. That's where they, you know, were. I think they were there for 6 or 7 years. I ran into them out there this summer, and say hi on Instagrams and things. And I love the Pratt Daddy crystals. I think it's so great. The Pratt
Daddy crystals are everything. They're everything.
It's so fun. I'm really like legit, like believing. I'm like, I've got my little earring crystals.
Oh, no, I'm like obsessed with Spencer, and I'm obsessed with Pratt Daddy crystals. You have no idea.
I met Spencer, just friends of friends, Nick Montalegre, who's on the show a little bit. He also worked at SBE and still does sometimes. They was one of the club promoters, but he and like Frankie Delgado and all of those guys were all good friends. And then they started filming The Hills, and it just, you know, it took off. I don't think, same sort of with Southern Charm, I don't think anyone was really expecting that, but it was just, it was mega.
So were you going to be a cast member? Like, were you thinking about it?
I never was. And then I was like, I'm a little bit, like, I'm 2 or 3 years older than Heidi. So, you know, they were all still in college. I was out of college, and I was like taking myself very seriously. I was like, I need to be professional, and like, I shouldn't be on MTV. Like, my mom is like, don't be on television.
You're so good. I would have been like, sign me up for Southern Charmed. I'm moving home tomorrow. See, this is why you end up on TV, because like you in a way don't care. And those are the people that I think do the best on TV. You're just like living your life, but that's amazing. So is Heidi the main person you knew from the show?
Well, I only met her, you know, during the show, but
right, like through Brent.
Stayed in touch. She is from Colorado. So we kind of like bonded over that. I had lived in Telluride and, you know, we just were just friends. She, you know, was a cool, sweet girl.
It's such a good show. Even the second incarnation, the last, it was good. Yeah. It was good.
Yeah, even with Lauren Conrad, she's a real estate agent with me still at Engel & Völkers. Jana was Lauren's real estate agent, and the house that they lived in where Adrena was in the guest house, like Jana sold her that house. So we, you know, in a weird roundabout way, helped get them that property, and that's where they ended up filming the show. And it's just, you know, all these little, you know, Hollywood is a pretty small town once you kind of break it down. It's the same as New York, you know, like a handful of people and you can kind of get a hold of everyone.
Totally. People are like, how do you know the New York housewives? I'm like, it's New York. Like, it's not. Like,
I go outside, but not anymore.
Right. It's not that big a place. You just go to like a few key places and it's like a small circle.
Yeah.
So you're in LA, you're in real estate now. So how has, I mean, like, forget Corona for a minute, like pre-Corona. Yeah. I mean, has the market changed there the same way it's changed in New York? Like,
yeah, I mean, the market has been really strong and it was really strong. And I think after this, it's going to come back really strong. I think people are just kind of waiting to see that everyone's like, oh, so excited the interest rates are dropping. And then so many people went to apply for loans or to get them that the interest rates, it dropped down to 2.5. And then just this week popped back up to 4.5. So it's like all these people thought they were like, you know, getting essentially really cheap money on their loans. And then like, that's not the case. And we had a bunch of properties last week and early this week fall out of escrow. But I think for the most part, I think like investors are waiting to see for the bottom to really come out. And then they're obviously going to start buying up a bunch of stuff. Unfortunately, with people, you know, losing jobs and this, that, and the other, some people might be forced to sell. And I think we won't see as bad of a repeat as in 08, but it's definitely going to be a rocky year. And especially in LA, you know, all of the real estate really picks up in the spring. Like the winter months are kind of dead for us because if it's not like 75 and sunny, nobody knows how to act here. So, you know, April, May, June have always been kind of biggest months in real estate. I mean, for me and for everyone. So, it's going to be tricky to see how everyone fares this. I mean, Compass laid off 600 people this week. I don't know if you read that or saw that.
They
laid off 400 people last week and 200 people just yesterday. So, you know, I'm not on a salary. I'm just a commissioned, you know, agent. So I'm commissions. I'm lucky because of Southern Charm that I have alternative sources of income. I, you know, do a lot of stuff with, you know, Instagram and posting and, but you know, all of that, like the companies aren't going to be hiring us to market things if their businesses are going under, you know, a lot of clothing designer, everyone's just sort of holding on to their cash because nobody knows what's going to happen or how long this is going to be. So, you know, I've got a lot of friends in the retail world and, you know, April 1st is coming up. Everybody's got to pay rent. And it's, you know, like I said, April, May is really going to start. By June, you know, we're going to see a lot of people going out of business.
I think so. And I mean, because, you know, like in New York, the market had changed a lot this year in the sense that it really is a buyer's market, like pre-Corona.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, well, certainly now that the stuff, I mean,
well, and we were talking about this today too. Actually, the market got so good sort of last summer and the summer before that then the prices were all like, there was like $50 million houses selling and everyone's like, that house is not worth $50 million. So I think what really is going to happen is it's going to be a reality check of prices. So, you know, $50 million houses were selling, but then they had to start selling them at 25. So like the house used to come with like Warhols and a Bugatti and all of this. And that's like, now you don't get any of the art or the cars or anything. We're just trying to sell it.
Here's the house.
Is, to move the inventory. So I think people got a little too comfortable with how freely the money was flowing. And now they kind of get realistic. But then again, it's going to be a buyer's market. You know, I was doing these virtual tours. I went out, we have a listing in Malibu right now, and then another listing in the Valley. And we were going to go do a virtual tour from there. And we, it was like, that's when Gavin Newsom had just done the order where like, we are really supposed to stay home. So I was like, I'm just such a dork naturally. I was like, are we going to get in trouble if we go and do the like virtual tour even? Because it would have been more than three of us in the property. And but anyway, so what the agent ended up doing was putting it on a lockbox. An agent came over there with the clients, and that house ended up going into escrow. And it's because it was priced right. You know, it wasn't some $1 million over what it should be. It was priced exactly right. And they actually ended up selling it for $20,000 over the asking price because it went into multiple offers. So I feel like if you, again, it's all this sort of realistic, then the market's going to be just fine, you know. But a lot of, you know, like I said, I designed restaurants and nightclubs. I mean, that industry is just getting hammered.
It is.
And I don't know how a lot of them will hold on. Not
it's
to
mention,
you know, the developers, but, you know, you've got the bar backs, the security guys, the girls and guys waiting tables, the bartenders. It's not just the big guys that own the land. It's every single person, you know.
Totally.
I watched a thing last night with Wolfgang Puck and Thomas Keller. And, you know, I mean, I think it's like the largest industry of employers almost is, you know, hospitality. So that's obviously getting hit really hard right now.
That's the thing. I mean, like you would start to think, I mean, at least in New York, I think a lot of restaurants are going to start closing down. And, you know, like if this lasts for a while.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. That's what I'm saying. Like once all the rents are due, that's going to be the real.
I think so. And then how do you think, so how do you plan to do business with Corona? It's just going to be a lot of, like, I mean, you did some virtual tours I saw on your Instagram.
You know, we're doing that. I work with Engel & Völkers. Our main company is over in Germany. So our head office is in Hamburg. And then, you know, our biggest markets are Italy, France, and Spain. And they're obviously just getting destroyed right now. So even on our, you know, way up corporate level from Germany, they're going to start focusing more attention on the Americas because we're North America and South America. And, you know, and that made me feel good that, like, well, at least our economy is kind of hanging in there if they're going to start pulling resources from marketing and other areas and start marketing here more in America because the money is still flowing.
That's good. And then, you know, just because this is where my mind goes, do you ever get someone that wants to see a house or one of your listings just because you're on Southern Charm?
And yeah, like and I actually don't go to showings or anything by myself anymore because it did get, so there were some weird things, you know?
Really? Like
you're
what?
Like alone in a house with a stranger. I have felt uncomfortable quite a few times. So now I'm just always make sure somebody's there, even if it's like the gardener or just somebody, you know? So I'm not totally, you know, and there's been stories here in LA where people have been doing open houses and have been like locked up in closets. And then, you know, luckily really? They just like stole a purse or a car or something and didn't harm the person. But still, like, I would be so traumatized. I'm not, you know, I like in the city, but I'm still very much a country girl and don't.
And you get like fan people that are like, okay, thanks for the house, but I'd like a picture with you.
Yeah. Well, not so much because we do pretty good screening to make sure that they're like financially able to.
That's good.
Whatever it is. I actually fangirled out recently. I was at open house in Montecito for a property and Lisa and Ken were there and I was like, hi. And I was like, this is so silly, but I'm on Southern Charm. And she was like, no way. I love Patricia. And I was like, oh, so it was like really cute that she, you know, sort of knew our show and we obviously knew hers. And so it's always fun to have a little crossover moment, but I was definitely not expecting to bump into her that day. I was like, hi.
What were they doing there? Were they looking at the house?
They were looking at the property.
Wow. Did you ask Lisa for a picture?
I did. It's on my Instagram. You can see it.
I'm going to have to go find. I looked at your Instagram last night. That's like amazing.
A few weeks ago, so it's pretty recent. She had one of the pops with her. It was cute.
Lisa is, do you watch any yet? Do you watch Bravo?
I do. I watch our show. I like Below Deck is really fun. I obviously love all the Million Dollar Listing things. Definitely. I watch all of it. I watched it before I was on it. I mean, who doesn't? I love Andy. I know he's been tested positive for Corona and he's laying low. But I also think when people like him get it and they come up and they're like, hey, I'm okay, I think it actually does calm people down. Like, you know, Tom Hanks just came out and, you know, everyone's like, Tom Hanks has it. And then, of course, Hollywood freaks out. They're like, is he here? And then they're like, no, he's in Australia. And everyone's like, okay, sure. But he, you know, he's fine. So that helps, I think, people feel better that if Tom Hanks is doing okay.
Totally.
You know, but there's obviously cases where people are older or have existing conditions and, you know, they won't do so well.
You need to watch Vanderpump Rules.
Okay.
And you need to watch Shaw's of Sunset. Those are my two recommendations.
I love Shaw's. I ran into, is it Mercedes?
Yeah.
She's really great. I met her at an event and I met Stassi. She's actually come to Charleston. She's a pretty good friend with Naomi and Danny. And I forget if they were there for a bachelorette party or what their whole thing was. But, you know, it's always fun, the crossovers. And we love hosting people in Charleston. So.
Yeah. It's, and Lisa and Ken is a good sighting.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Now, speaking of Million Dollar Listing, do you know any of you have done any deals with those boys and Tracy Tudor? Like, do you know them?
I have met Madison. He's not on anymore, but he's a Malibu guy.
Yeah.
Is Chris Cortazzo on the show ever? I can't remember. But
no, but I know him because of
Yeah, he's Sony. A huge agent. And then I met Mauricio. He's great. Everyone's gonna just trying to figure out how to navigate this new market.
And Chris is really good friends with Shannon Doherty, who is I know, it's sad. I hope she's okay. Yeah,
I know. I'm not sure how she's doing right now, but definitely. Again, another person that, you know, growing up in Georgia and seeing 90210, I mean, that was like California. And you're like, this is so cool.
And now you're living the life.
Yeah, well, I mean, not really. I'm not in the 90210s, but.
No, but you're close. But Malibu is great.
Yeah.
Is that, I know you're all over. Do you do most of your deals in Malibu or really just it's all over?
All over. I mean, in my like lifetime career, my biggest stuff has always been in the hills. So like more West Hollywood area. Definitely done a few things there. I'm really involved with a horse charity there in Malibu up Corral Canyon. And we rescue wild Mustangs and kind of give them a sanctuary to live out their days. So that's one of my favorite little charities, I guess.
Can you go still see your horses now or?
Yeah, I go out. I was just out there a few days ago, actually. The great thing about being with the horses is that they have no idea that any of this is going on. So
that's a good thing.
Everybody still needs to be fed and taken out and loved on. And so it's kind of like therapy for me as well.
That's good. Now, I have some fun questions for you.
Okay.
I like the fun questions at the end. I guess you brought one up. So other than Lisa and Ken, like, is there anyone on Bravo that you would just fangirl out, you think, if you saw?
You know, this is another fangirl out moment. I met Bethany Frankel at the Beverly Hills Hotel once and was like, again, like very nervous and was like, hi, I'm on Bravo too. and she was so cool and so nice. And we chatted for a while and we actually chatted a little bit here and there. You know, she is now doing another show, her sort of, you know, I guess you will end up getting to work for her. But again, another thing that's been put on hold. So I don't really know what that looks like. But I'm excited to watch that for sure. I mean,
it's going
to
be amazing. Me too. Well, that's what I said. Well, first of all, as soon as she got that deal with Mark Burnett, I'm like, I bet you there's going to be The Apprentice. Like, I mean, that's
basically what it is. And I think Mark Burnett, didn't he do Real World?
No, that was Bonna Murray.
Oh, okay.
Okay. He did. But he does Shark Tank, and she was on Shark Tank.
Shark Tank, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did Bethany know what Southern Charm was?
She did, and she was like, oh, that's cute. You know how she is.
Yes, I do know how Bethany is, but that's like a good one to fangirl over. Lisa and Bethany, those are good ones.
Yeah.
Now, talk to me about Patricia. Like, how much, like, did you know Patricia really well? I mean, I'm obsessed with Patricia.
Yeah, I didn't know her that well before filming. I'd known Whitney for a long time, and he would sometimes be in Charleston when I was there too, and so that was always kind of fun. He actually, you know, would bring a bunch of our LA friends out to Charleston, and they always had a great time because they're like, this place is so crazy.
Patricia's caftans are everything.
I know. She made one for me that has my dog on it. My dog passed away almost a year ago. It'll be a year in April. And so it's really special having that little caftan of Charlotte. I love it.
Did you ever have one of her butler fix you one of those martinis? They look so...
Yeah, Michael, of course. Yeah, I've had one of the martinis. He makes a really good old fashioned. There's always lots of champagne on hand. So the first season I drank a lot when I was filming. And then once you see yourself drunk on TV, you're kind of like, that's enough. It's so embarrassing. So I reined in my alcohol consumption on the next seasons.
You never really seem so drunk. You seem pretty level-headed. You never really seem so drunk to me. Not that I know you.
I guess I got a good edit, but there are definitely some slurred speech and slow reaction times.
Did you ever feel any pressure, like, from producers, like, to drink or cause drama or...
Well, no, I just feel the pressure from myself to drink because you get so sort of... I get nervous. I get the anxiety going and just wanted to have a drink.
Like, I get it. Do you keep in touch with anyone from, like, who do you, I mean, you do, but who do you keep in touch with the most? Like, you're
the most I probably keep up with Chef. I mean, we have all the same friends. We're always at, you know, weddings and birthdays, and, you know, a lot of our friends are kind of in the music world, so we love going to concerts, and he obviously has a couple bars in Charleston, and so, I mean, you know, we're always in touch, and then he comes out here a lot, too, out to LA and stays at Whitney's house, and so we're kind of, you know, we're both back and forth a bunch, and but I obviously don't see them as much as I did when we were all filming together, and I do miss it sometimes, but then it's also nice to just be, like, having a life.
To have some other things going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you rather, Craig or Austin?
Well, you know, they're both such sweet guys, and neither one of them are, like, really my type. They're, you know, I
really
love how Craig has sort of evolved and with his pillow business, and he seems to be doing it, but, you know, he's like, he's a little too pretty for me. And then
really
Austin is like, went to the University of Alabama, has his beer thing. And I'm not really like a big football beer guy either, but
I would take either personally.
Yeah.
I think I would take Craig over Austin if I had to choose.
Yeah.
That's where I would go with that. What about Thomas or Whitney?
I think I'd have to go with Whitney. You know, he can play really? The guitar, definitely keep you entertained. That means Patricia is my mother-in-law, which would be amazing. And
that would be,
you know.
And what is your relationship like now? So with Catherine, like, everything's fine?
No, I mean, I haven't talked to her or seen her in a very long time. I just never really know what to expect. But, you know, I know that her and Thomas have settled their arrangement with the kids, and hopefully that has, like, calmed a lot of things. But I don't know. I mean, I would love the chance to reconnect. There hasn't really been the opportunity.
I mean, you guys kind of ended on a relatively okay note.
Yeah,
more or less. Well, at least she, like, admitted that she understands that you probably never slept.
Yeah, that meant kind of a lot to me because there was, like, a lot of lies going around, and that was something that always really bothered me. Was all the I was like, that's just not true. That's not true. And I'm just sort of not to be, like, self-righteous, but I'm definitely a very honest and forthright. And so when things are being told about you that just aren't true, I'm like, this is just being done to hurt me or to cause
pain.
Like stories have been twisted to make me look a certain way. And it's just, that's not at all how anything happened. And also you weren't there, so you don't know.
Yeah, totally.
So that I had issue with was all the sort of,
you kind of just stepped right into it, you know, like you were on the show and the next thing you know, Catherine's like, here I come.
Yeah.
Now, what about going back to real estate, which is really, I mean, I'm obsessed with real estate. If you couldn't represent yourself, who, if you had to choose one of the $1 million listing, past or present LA, boys or girls?
I really like Frederick. I know he was up here in LA for a little bit, but I just think he has really, like, not that he like came from nothing, but he has really like built himself up and made this whole situation. And especially as far as New York real estate goes, definitely Frederick in New York and probably Mauricio for LA.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you ever met Kyle Richards?
I haven't. I mean, I think we've been at the same events before, but we've never really spoken or anything.
Do you know Josh Altman?
We've crossed paths before, but I couldn't say that I really know him.
Do you do? I mean, I've always had mixed. I mean, I've had apartments in New York before that I've sold. Like, how do you feel about the big over the top Frederick and Ryan? And I guess Josh, like the open houses, like, do you really feel those are necessary?
Well, I think it's good for you as like branding yourself as an agent, because you are kind of selling this lifestyle. And if you're selling a $10 million home, like, yes, you should have a proper lunch service and you should have all of these things. But like, as an agent starting out, no one's expecting like caviar and,
you know. And like Ferraris in the driveway and acrobats in the bedroom.
But I think it definitely, that appeals to the buyers, and you are for sure selling a lifestyle. And that's one of the things that comes along with the sort of the Beverly Hills or the Manhattan thing, you know, and people that are buying $10 million properties, a lot of them, it's their second and third $10 million property. So yeah, they're going to have all the toys. They're going to have all the staff, and they want to see what it functions at full speed ahead.
Would you ever go on $1 million listing? That really is where
for sure. I don't know.
You'd be perfect.
I mean, I would definitely, you know, bring an agent to one of their lists. I mean, bring a client to one of their listings or whatnot. But I don't know if I would want to totally be an agent on the show, because again, I've watched that and it gets a little bit catty. You know, the agents are really, you know, going after each other. I don't like the sort of talking behind each other's back, and I would never talk behind my client's back or try to, that's just not my MO when it comes to business. So I don't think that that would be a good fit for me, but I'd love to do a this old house or some sort of construction, like flip the property or something, you know.
That's You're so nice.
Well, I mean, you've seen the show. I'm not always so nice.
No, but you're like pretty nice.
Yeah.
I think, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, stuff like that. I've always wondered, like, I mean, I think that's a question some of them were asked, like, how do you, like, what happens after the show when it airs, and then, like, your clients see you talking about them? I don't know, it's weird. Where the client's like, I would take the deal for this, and, like, they try to get more. It's just, it's weird. Like, there's, I've always thought about that.
Yeah.
Where someone's like, I want to sell it for this.
That makes the show interesting. You want to see both sides of how this stuff is going down and how it's working. So, you know, that again, these shows have been on TV for a long time. People love it.
I love my reality TV. I've always been like a New York or LA person, but I have to say, like, because of Southern Charm, I have this whole, like, I get it. I get it. I get the whole South and that whole lifestyle. It's like, it's very appealing.
Yeah. You need to go down there. It's beautiful. Once, you know, there's like, it's really easy from New York. There's direct flights. I like to go out of LaGuardia. It's so easy, instead of having to get all the way to JFK, which is always a mess.
Could you ever see yourself living in New York?
Probably not. I would never be able to handle the winter. I spend a lot of time there. I like it, you know, in the fall for sort of fashion week. And we don't get much of a season in Charleston or in LA. So I like to go and have, like, a crisp autumn day in New York.
I get it. I love it
at Christmas because everything's so decorated and all the lights. And then I love going out to like Montauk or Nantucket or, you know, out to the sort of beaches in the summer. But, you know, NBC, that, you know, we were there at 30 Rock. So that was really cool. Got my first contract and it was like from 30 Rock. And I was like, this is so New York. And so
and you got to come to New York and do press and watch what happens.
Oh, and- so neat. It's been really cool that people, they love the show and you know, they love Charleston and it's really neat to kind of get to be a part of Charleston's history in this really weird way.
Seriously. Would you ever go back on the show? Like if you ever moved back
home? For sure. I mean, I don't think I wouldn't want to be like a main person, but you know, I would definitely, you know, there's always birthdays and parties. And if I'm ever in town, would be happy to show up at something.
That's good. And is there anything else you would like to say? I'm trying to think if we've covered, I mean,
we've gotten it covered pretty well.
Everyone needs to call you for real estate.
Please.
If they're moving
even
out.
If you're not ready to buy or sell and you just have questions and want advice. And, you know, it's, you know, they say it's one of the most difficult processes that you'll ever go through is buying a house. And it's a lot of scary stuff. And you're dealing with banks and, you know, then you've got inspections and you don't know what it geotech report is and all of this stuff. So
I know none of
you know, there's a lot. And I love kind of guiding people through the whole process. And it can be really stressful. And you know, it's for a lot of people, it's the biggest investment they'll ever make in their lives. And they're trusting you with a lot. So that's what I love about real estate the most. I love all the different construction and the properties, but I also really love working with the people. And you know, it's kind of an amazing gift to be able to help somebody find their home. And, you know, sometimes it's their dream home. Sometimes it's their first time buying something and it's just a little condo, but it doesn't matter. It's just a special to that person.
Do you know what I love? So I've always said this, if I ever left New York, I would live New York style wherever. I love like Sierra Towers and like, I love all, I mean, I know that's not why most people
when I first lived here, I lived right at Doheny and Sunset and was in a little condo high rise and you could like see out and it was like cool. But I just, and then I had like a yard and all of that. And I'm a doorman and to have to park and, you know, I didn't grow up in high rises. So right. I like being a little house.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, where can we all wait? You know, before we leave, I need to take a picture of you. This is what my life has come to now.
Crazy. Well, next time I'm in New York and all of that,
we need to have drinks
together for real.
Seriously. And I might be coming out there too when we can like eventually travel. And whoever's baby that is has been very well behaved in the past.
I know.
Like, I'm sorry if I, you know, tell them I'm sorry if I interrupted their homeschooling for the day.
Yeah.
But yes, the next time you come to New York, really, we'll do a drink.
Yes.
I really appreciate it.
After quarantine.
Yes, or maybe I'll be there. And where can we all find you online?
My Instagram is A. Landon Clements. My first name's Ansley, so that's the A.
I like that.
And I haven't really, I mean, I have Twitter, but I'm not that active. But I guess now with this current situation, I should probably get a little bit more active with it all. But
I think it's all about Instagram.
It's pretty easy to get a hold of me.
Instagram is good. I'm all of your horse stuff, all of your real estate stuff. That's what I've fallen.
Yeah, it's easy to, you can just really just my name and put in real estate and it all pops up. There's my email address right there.
Seriously. So everyone follow Landon. If you go out to LA, this is who you want to call and really keep in touch. I really appreciate it. I'm sure you're swamped.
Oh, thank you. You guys have a great day and stay safe in New York.
You too. Stay safe. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
See you later. Bye. Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at
David Yontef on Instagram. We're behind The Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.